This morning, we are in the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, if you would turn there with me. But this morning, in our study of Mark, we have come to this 8th chapter and to the 14th verse. And we will read down to verse 21, Mark chapter 8. And we read beginning at verse 14. The Word of God says this, "Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, 'Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod.' And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?' They said to him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, 'Do you not yet understand?'" We've seen a hungry crowd, chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. We have seen that group of people remain with Jesus for 3 days without food because they hungered for His words, and how He fed those 4,000 people with just a few loaves of bread. And then we saw a hostile group of Pharisees, verses 11 through 13. They weren't hungry for His words. They rejected His words. They were spiritually blind. And now in verses 14 through 21, our focus is returned to Christ's disciples. These are men who love Christ. These are men who do have the capacity. The 11, Judas, of course, is lost, but they have the capacity to receive the words of Christ, and as a pattern, they do receive the words of Christ. They have taken their stand with the Messiah. They have separated themselves from the kind of religion that characterized the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They've taken their stand with Jesus, and they've been maligned along with their Lord. So they love Him. They're loyal to Him. But they could sometimes be slow to learn. And in fact, that's what Christ emphasizes in our verses this morning. He emphasizes their spiritual dullness. He does it with a series of questions. In verse 17, He points out the fact that they do not yet understand or perceive. Do you not yet understand? Do you not yet perceive or understand, He says. They're giving evidence of hardened hearts, verse 17. Are your hearts hardened? They have eyes, they have ears, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears that don't seem to be functioning. Verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? They are forgetful learners. He says, and do you not remember? And He drives it all home after asking them to recall the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000. He drives it all home, verse 21, when He says to them, do you not yet understand? What is He saying with these questions? He's saying, you are slow. You are slow to perceive. You are slow to understand. You are slow to learn. You are forgetful hearers. You are sometimes spiritually dull. And in light of these three scenes, the hungry crowd, the blind Pharisees, and on this occasion, the spiritually dull disciples, you and I, are brought face to face with what kind of listeners we are. How do we hear the words of God? You know, we're taught in Scripture that we're to be careful how we hear. How do we hear the words of God? How do we hear the words of Christ in these verses? Are we hungry for the Word of God? Are we blind to the Word of God? Or sadly, could we be described this morning as a lot like these disciples? We're just dull, insensitive to things that we ought to be alive to. because the Lord has made us alive to these things. That's what we will do this morning. We'll examine ourselves and examine what kind of listeners we are in light of this encounter that Jesus has with His disciples. We begin this morning, verse 14, taking note of the circumstances, the set of circumstances that gave rise to this encounter. Remember, Jesus has just had this grievous encounter with the Pharisees. He has left them. He's gotten into a boat with His disciples. They are headed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And verse 14 tells us, now they had, that is the disciples, had forgotten to bring bread. And they had only one loaf with them in the boat. A couple of things we note in verse 14. The way this is worded, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, reminds us that as Jesus traveled with His men, He was a teacher to them in more than one way. He taught them doctrine, He taught them theology, He taught them that sort of way, but He also distributed to His men responsibilities. They had responsibilities. I mean, remember, for example, Judas had the money bag. So they had monetary responsibilities. They had responsibilities as it came to the matter of provisions. Apparently, these men had been given the responsibility to make sure that they had enough food as they traveled, and they had, here's the second thing to note, they had failed miserably. Their minds were not on their physical responsibilities imparted to them by their master. They had forgotten to bring bread. The result was they only had one loaf with them on the boat. That is not enough to feed 12 men, 13 counting the Lord Jesus, and anyone else who's traveling with them. So this is on their minds. Have you ever been given a responsibility and you have failed and the person who gave you the responsibility hasn't brought it up yet? But you know sooner or later he will, right? This is on your mind. This is on their minds. And it's in that context, the second thing we note, here Jesus gives them a caution. Verse 15, and He cautioned them saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. I think it's instructive for us that Jesus cautions His men. God's people need to be cautioned. They are not like the Pharisees. They are not like the Herodians. They are not like the Sadducees. These men love the Lord Jesus, but they still need to be cautioned about things that are spiritually dangerous. This is what He's doing. We need to be reminded. I think we lay our emphasis sometimes on preservation, the preservation of the saints of God, in a way that would make perseverance not real. It is true that ultimately our perseverance in the faith is explained by the preserving power of God. God is the one who gives us the strength and the power to continue in the faith, but it is still true to say that we must persevere. And that means being alert to sin issues and mortifying those things that would kill us spiritually, putting them to death and putting on, pursuing the new ways that belong to the new man. This is our responsibility. And so here is the Son of God who holds these men in His hand. He has kept them, He says in John 17, all along the way. So He's keeping these men, even as He's cautioning these men. Nonetheless, He cautions them. In fact, the word is really stronger than just kind of a caution. It's a form of the verb diastello, which refers to issuing a command. Christ is charging these men. This is a stern kind of caution. Speaking of the seriousness of what He is conveying to them, right? I mean, if you are charging someone, don't you want the people you're charging to have their ears perk up? If you're charging someone, don't you want the person you're instructing to be totally locked in and listening to you? Christ says, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. What are they to watch out for? What is this leaven that Jesus is talking about? Well, the only time that this leaven is explicitly identified, it is identified as hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12, In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together, they were trampling one another, and he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So in that context, the leaven was identified as hypocrisy. And these are men we know who were hypocrites. Jesus says this on many occasions. What is a hypocrite? Someone who wears a mask, someone who plays a role, a play actor, a fake. And so these were men who pretended to love God, who pretended to be concerned about what pleased God. But in reality, they just used God as a means to seek after those things that they wanted and that would advance them. But I think in general terms, we can say it is hypocrisy, but it's more than that. It is this persistent, stubborn unbelief. While you claim to be someone who really is open to the truth of God, right? Isn't that what we saw in just the previous verses? The Pharisees are saying, "Give us a sign." And Jesus says to them, "No sign is going to be given to you." And he expands out the discussion. It's not just you, it's this generation that seeks for a sign. You pretend you're open to the truth, but in reality, you are stubborn unbelievers. And that same kind of leaven then is not only being manifested in Pharisees, it's also being manifested in Herodians, those who supported Herod, and I think that's what he has in mind here when he talks about the leaven of Herod, the followers of Herod, those who sort of stand in league with Herod. And so from a political, secular point of view, these are ambitious people. So you have people in the religious realm who are ambitious for themselves. You have people in the political, secular realm who are ambitious for themselves. And in the context of the life among Jewish people, there's the claim that they seek after the living God and have desires regarding the living God, and it's all just a big mask. It's not real. The same could be said for the Sadducees, and in Matthew's account, they're included in Christ's words as well. The Pharisees characterized by legalism, the Sadducees characterized by pragmatism, rationalism, the Herodians characterized by the immorality of secularism. So that we can say what Christ is warning his men about is the destruction that sin brings in general, the destructive influences of sin. He might also be including something else in these words when he talks about the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember, leaven, right? In bread, in the stuff that makes bread. It spreads. Leaven, spreading influence. Christ may be saying, "Fellas, did you just note the encounter I had with those men, the Pharisees? And you do know also the Herodians hate me? And you know the Sadducees hate me? And I just want you to be alert to the fact that their influence is spreading." So that what he may be saying here is, I want you to be mindful of the fact and alert to the fact that you are headed for a very difficult future. Because these three groups, though they were very different and didn't stand in league with each other in many ways, they were together in one way, they hated Christ. In this same sort of way, Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:14. He said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message." Timothy, I want you to be aware of men like Alexander. Alexander and men like him. I want you to be aware that these guys are dangerous for you. Maybe that's what Christ has in mind. Either way, whether it's the influence of their sin or it's the influence of the men themselves, here is the third thing we note and the disappointing thing. Notice the calloused response of the disciples. And I don't think it's wrong to describe it that way, the calloused response, because Jesus brings up the condition of their hearts, doesn't he? He said, "Do you have hard hearts? Have you become numb? Have you become dull toward the things I'm communicating to you?" Because look at verse 16. "And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread." Jesus says, beware of something. Watch out for something. And these men who are hearing this charge respond by talking about bread. How can that be? Two possibilities. If you translate it the way it's translated in the ESV, which says that they began discussing with one another. They began discussing with one another. It could be that bread is so much on their minds that when they hear the word leaven, they sort of miss the rest of the message. And they're just thinking about bread, and so they begin to discuss the fact they don't have it. But another possibility is that this imperfect verb could be understood as the continuation of a discussion. Verse 14 introduced the fact that their lack of bread was on their minds. So it could be they were already discussing this, and Jesus then is giving them a warning about leaven associated with Pharisees and Herod, so that verse 16 could be translated, and they continued discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. In other words, they just ignore what Jesus is warning them about and continue with their talk about a lack of bread. Either way, what can we say? They whiffed, didn't they, on the Lord's message. They missed it. They missed it. It very much reminds me of what happens virtually every Sunday after church services all around the planet. Even where, I mean, in some places, sadly, there is not good teaching, but in many places, a good table has been set, good teaching goes forth, important lessons are conveyed, and then people walk away having missed the message. And one of the ways you know they've missed the message is that the message is not the focus of their thoughts. They're thinking about something completely unrelated immediately after hearing the Word of God. They walk away thinking about something that is completely unrelated to what they heard, or if they do make some sort of connection with the sermon, it sometimes is in a way that gets hold of the shell but misses the substance. It's like the parable of the soils. Though the three responses that miss the message there speak of people who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I think it's still true to say that sometimes people who do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they still are very similar to those three soils. The Word of God is stolen away. The Word of God is choked out in their lives. The Word of God takes temporary root, but that doesn't bear good stuff. It goes away as soon as persecution arises, difficulties arise. The book of James describes a wrong kind of hearer. It says in chapter 1, verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror." I mean, you have a very intense look into a mirror. You have looked at the word of God, using this analogy, in a very detailed way. Next verse, "For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." How many people do that every Sunday? They look into the Word of God through the help of a teacher, and they're looking at the verses intently, and they're listening, it seems, closely, and then they walk out, and they immediately forget what they heard, what they saw. James goes on to write, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." He will be blessed, the one who acts on what he hears, doesn't forget it, holds on to it, perseveres to hold on to it, and then walks in what he's heard. That's the person who's going to be blessed. Well, that's not what's happening here. Jesus is warning them, and they're not even hearing the warning. They're talking about bread. So what does Jesus do? It's the fourth thing we see, the correction from Christ. He corrects them. Before we look at this correction, ask yourself this question. Do you think it's a small thing with Jesus when his people miss his message? Let's personalize it. Let's bring it home right here. Do you think it's a small thing with your Lord when you sit in a service like this one and you're not working, you're not striving to get the message? You're sort of surface listening. And then you walk out and you lost it. Walk out the doors and we're immediately talking about the football game. Walk out the doors and what is first on our mind is lunch. Like these guys, right? Bread. Panera's prices have really gone up, haven't they? Barbecue sounds good today. See, I'm just helping the devil right now, aren't I? Steal the seed. That's what we do. My question is, do you think that matters to the Lord? You think He cares? Well, if you don't think He cares, listen to this. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said, "M12." "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said, "M7. And He said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" If the leaven Christ has in mind here is the stubborn unbelief of Pharisees and Herodians and Sadducees, think about what their unbelief represents. We're talking now about men who are permanently blind. They don't have eternal life. They don't know the living God. They're blind in their sins. What characterizes the way they respond to the words of God? Well, they don't have reverence for the words of God. And they don't listen, therefore, with a humble, grateful spirit. They don't realize what they're in the presence of when you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't understand they're in the presence of the Son of God on those occasions. They don't hear His words with humble, grateful hearts. Therefore, they're not in tune with them. They're not listening with reverence. Christ pointed that out, Matthew 12:38. "And some of the scribes and Pharisees answered Him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But He answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.'" And then He said this, "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." I know it's not an exact parallel, but you know, I read those words and I think about how many people in this room this week have spent more time reading a book that is not inspired than you spent reading the Bible. People would travel from long distances to hear Solomon. But Jesus is saying, something greater than Solomon is here. Well, listen, something greater than the latest novel is here. You have the words of God. Something greater than the sitcom. Something greater than the evening news. Something greater than the morning newspaper. Something greater than the website you travel to right when you wake up every morning. Something greater than what you give your mind to so many hours of the day is sitting in your lap. The words of God. Do you hear them? Do you reverence them? Do you have a humble, grateful heart that treasures these words? Therefore, takes the opportunity that is set before us to read them and digest them and live them out by the grace of God. Do we thank God for what He's given us? The response of these disciples on this occasion, did it reflect reverence? You're talking about bread. When your master wants to address you with something important and you keep talking about bread, is that reverence? Do they reflect humility? Do they reflect gratefulness? Hey, here is the Son of God, if you rightly understand who He is, and they had some understanding of that. Here is the Son of God who is warning us about something. How humbly grateful we should be that He would be willing to do this for us. Let's listen. Did they realize the great privilege of what they were receiving, whose presence they were in? Everything He says to them in these questions makes the statement that they were not. They were not reverent. They were not humble. They were not grateful. They were not in tune. They were not listening. You know what this is? This is blindness. But it's another kind of blindness. It's not the permanent blindness that belongs to lost people. It is a temporary kind of blindness that believers can know. It is blindness in the sense of nearsightedness, where things that are material and down here on earth seem real to us and up close to us, and things that are spiritual in nature and eternally valuable don't seem so important. Think about it. These men, they failed in the earthly responsibility they should have given themselves to. Then they were locked in on some earthly matter they should not have been locked into. That's just like us, isn't it? God has actually given us earthly responsibilities that we're to be locked in on, and carrying those things out as acts of worship to Him with our eyes focused on Him. He's given us things to do on this planet. And so often what we're doing is failing in those areas, but then we are so preoccupied with things we should not be preoccupied with that we can't even hear our God as He's communicating to us in His Word. They were thinking about bread when they shouldn't have been, after they didn't think about bread when they should have been. How does Jesus address it? Notice the questions. First of all, why are you preoccupied with something other than what I'm asking you to set your attention on? That's what He means when He's saying, why are you talking about bread? Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? I'm not talking to you about bread. I'm talking to you about the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Aren't you listening? Why are you preoccupied with something other than what I'm asking you to set your attention on? Why do you not understand? Why do you not perceive? That indicates, doesn't it, that they bear a personal responsibility in this. I mean, there are things that they could be perceiving, should be perceiving, could be understanding, should be understanding, if they were really listening the way they should be listening. What is it in your life that you don't perceive and don't understand? Not because you couldn't, not because God hasn't given you the capacity to through salvation, but because you just are not giving yourself to learning the way you should. He asked them, why is your heart insensitive? Are your hearts hardened? Do His words resonate within your heart? Do they touch your heart? Do they matter to your heart? Is your heart warm toward the words of God, or has your heart become dull? God's given you eyes and ears. Why does it seem they're not functioning? Verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Why do you not remember what you've already witnessed? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten? Do you not remember? Now, why are they so focused on bread? They're concerned they don't have enough. And what He's saying in reminding them about the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 is, fellas, if you just reflected for just a moment about what those miracles say concerning me, right, concerning the Lord Jesus, you would understand this is not a major concern, is it? The Lord has already demonstrated He has no problem providing bread. So when He's not concerned about bread at the moment, why don't you not be concerned about bread at the moment? When He's concerned about a spiritual issue, why don't you set your focus on that spiritual issue? He has no problem providing more than enough. Do you not yet get it? Do you not yet understand? So that you have the hungry crowd, you have the blind Pharisees, and now you have these men upon whom God has given such grace. They've been brought to Christ. They love the Lord Jesus. They're loyal to the Lord Jesus. They have access to the Lord Jesus. They have the capacity to hear and to understand. But what is wrong is they have the kind of blindness that, listen, they have become over familiar with holy, precious things. So that they no longer sense the holiness and the preciousness of those things. How do we apply this? Well, I would ask you, are you hungry, are you blind, or are you dull? Which of those three categories do you fit into today? Perhaps someone here this morning, up until this day, you have been spiritually blind. You are lost in your trespasses and sins. It doesn't mean you've not been exposed to light. It means you have, as we talked about last Sunday, you have no desire for the light. Which is to say, then you're blind to it. Blind to not only its truthfulness, for if we what we really believe to be true, we live in accordance with. Not only are you blind to its truthfulness, you're blind to its preciousness. It just doesn't have value to you. And that's because of your spiritual nature. That's because of where you are right now in your relationship with God. You're alienated from God. Because you're alienated from God, you're alienated from yourself. You don't understand who you are or why you're here or what your purpose is. And the other result is you're alienated from other people. You can't relate to people in the way that people relate when God's love has been poured out in their hearts. Your need is salvation. Your need is Christ. Your need today is to repent of your sins and look to the Son of God who saves sinners like us, like you. Someone here this morning, no doubt, is you fit into the category of the Pharisees up until this day. You've been stubbornly blind. Would you repent of that today? Would you turn from your sins and trust in Christ right now? Cry out to Him from your heart. He'll have mercy upon you. He has mercy for sinners. There's someone sitting here today going, I don't understand this at all because, man, my heart's full. I'm reading the Word of God right now and it's like I'm devouring it. I can't get enough. It's like truth is jumping off the pages all the time to me. I just say to you, give the Lord thanks. That's what's going on in your life and heart right now, that you are in the realm of that zealous kind of hunger for truth. That's a great place to be. It's where the Lord wants us to be. But then maybe there's the rest listening and saying, you know, where I fit in right now is I can just tell I'm not as warm toward the truth as I should be. Well, then let me ask you this. Why do you think Jesus pointed this out to His disciples? Was it just to make them feel bad? What was it just to make them feel guilty? Was that the goal? Why do you think He pointed this out? And if you begin to think about why He pointed it out to them, I would ask you, are you ready and willing to recognize why He would point it out for you? I think here are some reasons He pointed it out to them and for us. To raise questions like this, will I be careful how I'm listening? Will I work at it? How many of you know you have to work to be a good listener to sermons? If you understand that, would you say amen? You've got to work at it. You prepare before you come in, and then you engage as you sit in. You work at it. Anybody else have the problem of a wandering mind? Do you think that's all just the flesh? Do you think we have an enemy who seeks to steal truth from us? So we have to recognize that and we work at it. Are you going to be careful about how you listen? Another question, will you listen for the purpose of obedience? One of the ways to be a great listener is I'm not just listening for information, I'm listening for life change. What I'm hearing this morning, how should this change the way I live when I walk out these doors? Are you listening that way? Are you listening for the purpose of doing something? Listening for the purpose of being a doer of the Word. I'm going to act on what I hear. I want to obey the truth I'm given. Another question, will you fight to hold fast to the instruction that you receive? I've been careful how I'm listening, and I have purpose in my heart to walk in what I hear. I want to obey what I hear. All right, but how do I hold on to that by Wednesday? How do I hold on to that by this evening? You know, you have to work at that, don't you? It's one of the reasons why, for some people, it's better. They're better listeners if they don't take notes. But one of the reasons why it is a good thing to take notes is you can reflect on that later on. You open that back up and you begin to look at those things. You say, you know what? This is what I heard this past Lord's Day, and this is what it should mean to my life. And I don't want to forget this by Wednesday. In fact, look, we're not under the illusion that we are perfectly memorizing everything we ever hear that's true. We need ongoing teaching and reminders, and we're going to be relearning things over and over again. But boy, I want to hold fast to the things I learn. And I want to work at that. Will you, here's the fourth and last question, will you ask God to do for you what you don't have the power to do for yourself? Do you know who makes good listeners? The Holy Spirit makes good listeners. His work in our lives, as we obey the sorts of things we're hearing this morning, as we take action on these things, we aren't doing this with some sort of just moral willpower. We're seeking the Lord the entire time and depending on the Lord the entire time and asking the Lord through prayer, Lord, would you strengthen me to be a better hearer of your word, to hear carefully as you give me what you give me in Scripture through reading, through that which you've ordained for the health of your church, preaching, through every realm where I'm being instructed. Lord, would you strengthen me to be one who honors you and pleases you in the way that I listen? You know, you think about all the ways that you strive to please God. Do you include on that list, Lord, I want to please you by the way that I listen to your word? May the Lord strengthen us not to be dull hearers. The church would say, amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the ongoing washing that occurs through the proclamation of your word. And this is one of the things that you have ordained preaching to be. Not only, Lord, is it instructive to us, and in that way corrective for us, and fortifying and strengthening for us, Lord, it just washes the dirt off. The things that we find in our lives because we are not yet glorified and we're living in a sinful world. So, Lord, I pray that this morning we would hear carefully, and that the exhortation to hear carefully would not be lost on us as soon as we walk out the doors. I pray that the seed that's been sown this morning would not be stolen or choked out, or take shallow root, but I pray that instead it would take deep root in our hearts and bear good fruit. And I pray for anyone in this room, Lord, who walked in here blind. I ask that in your great mercy you would open their hearts and eyes to hear that Jesus is Lord, a friend of sinners, the Savior given for sinful human beings. And may that soul today turn from his or her sins, trust in the one who died for sinners on the cross and has been raised from the dead, to trust in the substitute for sinners, to trust in the one who died for all those who will put their faith in him. May they look to Jesus and be saved. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.